depression, sadness, anger. Don't say anger. Yeah. Let's start with fear. I mean, fear, of course, is everywhere. It paralyzes the emotional body, paralyzes the nervous system and so on. But focus mostly on the kidneys and adrenals. Obviously, the adrenals release adrenaline through fear, fight or fright responses. Well, imagine, have you got my art book? Could you bring that?
Which one, one or two?
Two, yeah.
Oh yeah, two.
The one you haven't read. So what we're focusing on is the original fall. Adam and Eve are expelled from the Garden of Eden, eating a temptation, the fruit of the apple of knowledge. And Gabriel cast them out with a sword, saying, "You cannot return back into the Garden of Eden." Jehovah, you know, rejects them completely and curses Adam and Eve and therefore the whole human race, with the idea that they have to live on their own resources on an inhospitable world, you know, where scarcity, they have to grow their own food. There's harshness now, as opposed to the Garden of Eden, where you didn't have to worry about anything. All is provided and there's complete security. There's no danger in the Garden of Eden. So therefore, if we use that as the principle of the source of fear in the human race, you know, if you are facing, if you pass that round as I'm talking, if you're facing utter desolation, you know, if you had to be cast out of a secure environment where all is available to you and there's no fear whatsoever, you've got nothing to be afraid of, and you go into a place where there is fear, because fear is the way you survive. Okay? So that's the original source of fear. It's coded into the base chakra of the human race. So to reverse fear, you know, I mean, you could do, you know, little things like, you know, fear of spiders, face a spider and so on, but that's only touching the fear. To really clear the fear totally, you have to go back to the original expulsion from the Garden of Eden in your body, in your memory, soul memory, and this time rewrite it. So that's what we're going to do in this meditation. We're going to imagine you are being expelled. You are Adam and Eve, collectively, and you're being expelled. But this time, as you descend to Earth and you feel Earth is bare, no food or crops grow until you plant the seeds, you know, so that's a fear of, you know, you're going to be hungry, you know, and so on and so forth. There's no shelter. But this time you visualize a very important principle which paintings have, and that's very much in the creation of animals and the creation of the plants and everything. The human body stores within it, or the human form being stores within it, all life forms. All the animals, plants and minerals came out of us. They are projections from something within us. Even though they came on Earth before we landed on Earth, they are extensions of our being until we also send the rest of us to Earth. So in that sense, the creation of the elementals as well, the elements of nature, in that sense, you have the whole of Garden of Eden within you. You see, when all the animals and the plants and the elements were created in the Garden of Eden, in the first, you know, 5 days of Genesis, and then man was formed in the sixth day, everything that was already in the Garden of Eden was also in you. And therefore, this time you visualize, as you descend to Earth from the Garden of Eden, you are bringing the Garden of Eden down with you. And the Garden of Eden is within you, all the blueprints. So all you're doing is manifesting heaven on earth. Yes. And when you do that, there's absolutely no need to have any fear.
Do you want to?
No. I know what the picture's from. So that's the principle. You got that? And while you're doing that, focus on your kidneys, base chakra, and see what happens. And usually, if it works, you sense a relaxation of a deep cramp that was there before.
Can you place where the kidneys are?
Just there, you know, near the back. But you'll know, because you'll feel where the cramp is. Yeah. All right, I'll talk you through it. So, first imagining you're in a bubble of light. A white light, like a cocoon or egg. And just for a minute or two, rapidly run through in your mind the events of the day from when you woke up, just so that they can drift out of your consciousness and you are then here. Although we're doing a creative visualization, sense the feelings you get in your physical body. So focusing this into your kidney area. We intend to clear fear out of the body, out of our beings. You may even sense fear is like a black weed stored in the body from an ancient time. So in your mind, go back to the beginning of the human race and visualize the Garden of Eden. Just in your mind, the perfect place of heaven on earth, heaven, sanctuary, all creatures in harmony. And you, as the human, are the center of the universe, created from God. Wonderful idyllic place of paradise. And in your mind's eye, ask to sense the origin of fear in the human race by imagining the earth into which you are going to fall from the Garden of Eden is a barren, hostile place below you in your base area. Sense or understand that fear is the human condition of simply being on earth. So over the next few moments, minutes, just ask to recreate the story and imagine, affirm that you are bringing the Garden of Eden within you, down to earth. You are carrying the Garden of Eden inside yourself. Just imagine it like a waterfall of gushing Garden of Eden flowing out through your base chakra into the earth. Sense that this Garden of Eden story, if you can manifest it more and more, will reverse all poverty, all survival issues, all fear of lack or struggle out of your base chakra. Just wrap or surround your body, but particularly around your kidneys and base, with light so that you can hold this energy even when you meet fear back in the world. You hold the energy within you. Speaking of base areas, that's those cushions in that black bag. Cushions.
I've got a couple. Yeah.
Any feedback?
I struggle to visualise the Garden of Eden up there, because for me, the Garden of Eden's on the earth. So when we set up there, I find that it's difficult, because then I could have visualised sort of a platform where the garden of Eden is.
Yeah. There's always a level that's still above and another level of reality.
Mm.
So not all here just yet. Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's all right. Remember, energy follows thought. So if it seems a struggle, that's not a problem, because it is, existentially, I mean, we all have this sense of, you know, earth and heaven are separated. Anyone else? Any feedback?
The crown thing hasn't gone yet. What I'm saying is, even through the manifestation of the garden, you know, coming out of the base, as you're falling.
What, are you complaining?
The crown is still there, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. Don't worry about it. It'll give it time. These things peel off layers, and then deeper levels of fear, you know, clear.
So is fear the first basic emotion we experience?
Pretty much, yeah.
You can imagine when you're born, that must be pretty fearful. You were in a nice, warm environment, all cosy, and then you're out there, and there's not this nice liquid keeping you warm.
That's right. The time when you experience that no fear should be when you're in the womb, in your mum. But that's not the case for many fetuses now either.
No.
That recreates the Garden of Eden story. So going on now to recording. So going on to clearing hate. And what we'll do is, I mean, I'm not saying these are the only original causations, but they're good enough for our purposes.
Mm.
And for clearing hate, we'll go back to Atlantis, during which, the third root race, before our us, we developed the emotional body to another level. In fact, the astral or emotional body of the Atlanteans was much more developed than our body, our emotional energy now. They had emotional, you know, swings and feelings and passions and you know, forces, including psychic, you know, that we would not even be able to imagine. You know, think of, you know, having anger, and with that anger being able to shatter an object, you know. So, but hate was a necessary, all the negative emotions are necessary counterparts of something positive. The nature of the astral or emotional body is it learns through duality, polarization, or extremes. To experience the positive, you have to have had the negative. Otherwise, you don't know what the positive is.
Mm.
So, the time when the negative emotions and so on particularly reactivate Atlantean way is during teenage years, the third 7-year cycle. So that's why a lot of teenagers hate things, you know, with a vehemence that you think, God, that doesn't make any logical sense. Now, what hate does to the emotional body is it creates a repulsion force. Hating means you are averse, you want to get rid of that in your life. You don't want to know about it, you completely reject it. And that was a very necessary emotion to develop for a period in Atlantis, because there was this entanglement with other people emotionally, more than you realise than even now. Because when you emotionally, what you can do with your astral body is go into someone else's emotional space. Of course you know that, because sometimes you feel invaded in your emotional life, or you feel vulnerable or exposed. So your astral body would tend in Atlantis to go into other alternate parallel other people's energies, and sometimes get stuck there, trapped, or them in you. So hate was a force to be able to push out of your emotional energy foreign emotions, you know, when people affect you, and also to be able to reject someone energetically who you feel you're entangled with. That's why, of course, when people break up in relationships and they were in love, they often have to feel hate in order to disentangle from each other. That's the stronger force than unconditional love. for many humans. So what we'll do is we'll imagine all the hate in your being and just activate the feeling of hate as a general force. And imagine this time you activate the ability to emotionally push things away without having to hate. You push things away with the force of yourself, with good boundaries. You simply imagine you have emotional muscles and you do this motion in your mind with your emotional energy, pushing anything away that you formerly, or that you hate. And the hate will transform and change to something else. See what it will change to. Okay? Okay, so this time, just put your focus around your chest, heart area. As a good center for your emotional body energy. And this time, we ask to go to Atlantis, the third root race, to experience the heightened emotional energy then in the human race. And imagine feeling what hate would have felt like in Atlantis if you hated others or situations in life, but mostly others. Imagine with hate you were learning to push things away that were invading your space. You can even imagine in this life what happens whenever you feel invaded. Spend the next few minutes asking to change that hate, transform it, so that you no longer need to use hate to push others away, but this time can use simply the sense of yourself, your ego, your I, to create a proper boundary without effort. Create that intention and it will happen. imagine back in your heart that you can ground or consolidate this increased sense of self, this ego, this higher self. Just put a throne or a chair in your heart into which your higher self will sit like a king or queen. You are in charge of all your boundaries. Imagine your heart is like a palace for your higher self. Sense that?
No, I struggle to feel hate. I can feel fear quite easily, but I think I'm a bit tired. I haven't got the energy to feel hate this evening.
Yeah. They're all components of the lower emotional body. But don't worry, sometimes these things are buried in the subconscious. And it'll come up.
Mm.
It will come up.
Mm.
You do have hate.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So, all right. What we'll do, because I mean, you're going to incarnate one in one life where you'll say, "I hate you," or "hate this," or "hate that." Either hate is there somewhere. It'll come to expression. So you want to know a tool to transform it. So we're building in these tools. So let's go on anger. You have had anger, haven't you?
Yes.
Now, anger, how would we deal with anger? Well, ultimately, we'll just focus on anger as self, self-anger. I mean, most of the time, you might think you're angry at other people, but really you're angry at yourself often more than you are at other people. And that's more damaging anyway, self-anger, self-loathing, self-whatever, reproach. And, you know, everyone with depression has some degree of self-anger. So what does anger do? It really sinks into the earth as an energy. These emotional energies have different flows. And anger goes deep into the earth and obstructs your will. I won't go into all the dynamics, but out of the body, thinking goes into the head, it's from the head into the sky. Feelings stretch from your chest out into the world, and willing, the willpower, comes out from your belly into the earth itself. And anger is very much an obstruction of your will, your willpower. But to transform it, again, we'll see its positive nature. Because that's what I've been trying to teach you. Hate was a positive energy at one point in the human race. Everything negative now used to be a positive energy at some point. And the rule is that that evil or negative energy is simply an energy that's in the wrong place in the wrong time. So there was a time when anger was a very positive energy, and it was the energy of getting on with something, of dealing with something. Because have you ever been angry and that's made you do something? You've galvanized it, you know, you speeded up, you've got willpower, you've got momentum. And that's what anger did at one level, towards later, second half of Atlantis mostly. With anger, you could galvanize and focus your will and do it. And that was the principle that we're going to use, is as below, as above, so below. And that is, the deeper you go into the earth with your will, with your actions, the higher up you go into the spirit world, potentially. That means, or the other converse, the higher you go into the spiritual world, i.e. meditatively, initiatically, receiving forces, the lower you have to sink into your subconscious and into the earth to ground it. And what a lot of spiritual people try to do, negatively speaking, I mean, is they try to access all this spiritual energy, which is great, lots of it, without actually grounding it into the earth, in sinking it into the earth, into action, into the subconscious, and into the density and heaviness of sludge. They think that grounding spiritual energy should make their life easier, lighter, and better straight away. But what it does instead is it makes their life heavier and denser and more difficult temporarily, as they have to go into the earth and sink into the subconscious. So anger is rather like that. So to heal anger, what we'll do is we'll imagine that elastic band energy. As you go up, you also go down, and you're using anger to go down. I've talked enough, let's see what happens. So, this time you put your mind's focus on your belly, particularly around your liver, which is the right side of your belly. And you can even imagine, if you can, your goal, your bile stream, like a red and black liquid with iron, the iron process. And iron gives you will, the will, the determination to act and to do things. So now ask to clear out all the anger that's been in your body, in your life, and held in your subconscious, particularly around that area of your belly and your liver. But to heal and clear that anger, imagine an energy rising from your crown into the spiritual world, and that energy bounces from the spiritual world back into your body, through your liver, into the earth as willpower. And as you exercise the will to ground spirit, you reverse or transform all the anger within you. So just to remind you, send an energy up into the spiritual world through your head, and imagine the spiritual world sends it back down through your body into the earth. is the best way of transforming any anger within you. By receiving that impulse and grounding it from spirit, it changes the anger. To sense new forces of grounding are taking place, as if a new energy can flow from your belly area into the earth, giving you a new sense of willpower, willpower without anger. Willpower based on joy and enthusiasm. And then complete by asking perhaps to receive a message from your spirit guides. This new energy will mean that you have to do something practical to ground some spiritual energy in your life. Ask what it is that you have to do on an action or practical level now with this new willpower. Maybe it's something you've been putting off for a while. Any feedback?
dawn, don't they?
Physically uncomfortable.
Everything just felt very uncomfortable. I couldn't, felt my body was moving. I couldn't, just felt uncomfortable.
Okay, that's all right. Anyone else? No? Okay, you're probably thinking this isn't getting, but these are, you're working with dense energies, so, you know, what you are going to feel uncomfortable. Let's work on sadness. Now, sadness goes to the lungs mostly, doesn't it? In Chinese medical alternatives, so on. And sadness particularly obstructs exhalation. Hence, when there's chronic grief, sadness, loss, people sigh frequently. They sometimes get a chest infection because it's congesting their lungs. Now, generally speaking, the exhalation is a mini expression of death. The last breath you make is death, really, of you leaving your body. So and of course,
if you've got asthma, does that mean your body's sad?
Often there's chronic sadness lodged there somewhere, some life, you know, it doesn't have to be this one. And of course, death is often a trigger for sadness, isn't it? Death of a loved one. So what the principle here we'll use therapeutically is to imagine that the sadness is an attempt to hang on to some energy in your lungs and avoid feeling empty in your lungs. Through loss, it doesn't matter if it's not through death, you know, it's loss, separation and stuff, abandonment, but through loss, you are being challenged to feel empty. And empty like a vacuum empty, as if there's space, nothing is there. Where someone was or something was, there's now a void. And of course, humans are terrified of feeling that emptiness in their lungs. But what we'll this time imagine is spirit can come into emptiness. Spirit can't come in when it's full, when it's full of attachment. And for most people, it's attachments and so on, and needs. And that's the nature of spirit anyway. You can't, spirit doesn't come into someone's life if they got clutter. You know, you've all had stuff where you've decluttered, and that's into that space, something new can come into your life. Same principle in your lungs. So this time, be and visualize that emptiness, and just imagine your lungs as empty as possible. Keep them like a vacuum emptiness and sense that sadness can't live in that emptiness. And that's in that emptiness, you simply wait. You don't need to do anything. You wait and spirit will send you something. Might not be right now, I mean. Okay. So again, in your mind's eye, but this time, put your focus on your lungs, your breath, your chest area. And we're going to focus on clearing out sadness, deep lodged sadness stored maybe in your lung area. Sadness in all its forms, abandonment, grief, bereavement. But visualize, ultimately sadness is related to death. Death of something in your life. Could be the ending of a relationship, the death of someone. And imagine, because of that death energy, your lungs are having to make an exhalation, a last breath of something that won't be in your life anymore. So spend the next few minutes imagining and asking that your lungs exhale all the relevant memories to fully activate the death of something until your lungs are fully empty empty like a vacuum. And then there's no more sadness. Therefore, become aware that death is a necessary experience, life and death. You're starting to feel more deeply that instead of as the sadness goes through experiencing the loss and the death and the emptiness, a new energy starts entering your lungs, and that's the energy of accepting chaos, flow, of no longer needing to be certain of everything, no longer needing to attach everything, but being willing for everything to change. By imagining that your breath now has a new prana, a new vitality, as if it's not stale anymore, your breath, but full of new life force. You're birthing new energy with your inhalations. Okay. got any feedback from that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah, what I got from that one is like the, with the land, we focus on the land, and we tend to think the lands are the, this is what I got from it anyway. I'm thinking that the lungs are the center of the breath. Yeah. But what I got from that was that the lungs are there, but what happens, the body cells copies what the lungs are doing. If the lungs inhale very, very shallowly, the body cells then do that. So therefore there's like, the concept was like, We tend to focus on the lungs doing the breathing instead of all the body cells doing the breathing.
Yes, good.
Yeah? So it's like the body cells are saying, well, hang on, we're copying you. So if you're if you're shallow breathing, it's producing emptiness in them and fear.
Mm.
Because they're not actually getting exactly what they want.
Good. So you're picking up the energy that's in the breath.
Yeah.
That then goes into the body.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, because then it's saying, because the way I got the concept is like, well, how can you actually deep breathe by just focusing on the lungs only? Yeah, because it's like, when that let go, all the body cells then start to breathe.
Mm. Yeah, we heard that.
Yeah.
So, I could hear you breathing from here.
Yeah.
No, that's all right. All right, so let's go on to the last one. Depression. Kind of touched on it already, but this time, melancholy, depression, you know, we'll focus back into the liver area there. But this time, we'll use the concept or the phrase, the devil is in the details.
Mm.
And that's quite an insightful comment because you've all, you know, very spiritual people, and you want things to be, you know, very easy to do, and you don't want to do the little things, do you? Now, like, which might be filling in this form, sorting out, you know, a little job that's somewhere in your home, you know. But at the end of your life, it'll be the little things you haven't done that, you know, are the things you carry over into the next life. I mean, they're major things and so on. But every little unfinished thing is stored somewhere in your subconscious. And it burdens it. And paradoxically, doing the little things, the detailed stuff, the niggly things that, you know, niggle, and that's the princess and the pea concept, isn't it? The niggly little things can be quite depressing because they build up. So this time, ask to clear out depression by being completely willing to do boring little things that are getting in the way in your life. Because they are the most spiritual of your activities. Those are the things that will ground your spirit more than going off to an ashram somewhere. Or spending hours meditating. Or, you know, doing some initiation in some group.
So it's back to the drawing board.
It's
nice work.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's why you're going to see an epidemic soon of people leaving ashrams and things like that. I haven't changed. They've done all this spiritual activity, but they haven't actually sorted out their basic life.
Mm.
Yeah. So, okay. So imagine now going back into your, around your solar plexus area mostly. And this time we're asking to transform, understand and transform the negative emotion of depression. So have the words running in your mind, the devil is in the details. Project that phrase into your belly, solar plexus. Imagine the black coloured energy of depression there, and ask to be shown the little tasks, the niggly, irritating things that you have to sort out in your life before the depression will go away. all the things you didn't want to focus on, but you have to put your 100% focus on in order to be free of depression. Sense over this period of this meditation, you're starting to empty something in your solar plexus and in your liver. Empty the burdens and the tasks that you hadn't finished. As you clear that clutter, the depression goes away. So a sense now finally that this last meditation has regrounded you back into your life, so you know what to do as you come out. Final feedback?
So basically everyone is depressed really.
Yes, it's very, very depressing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I couldn't think of any tasks I have left to do.
You're deluding yourself.
You haven't got anything to do.
Clearing.
See, your problem is, Mita, you physically have decluttered so much that you're in the illusion that you don't have clutter. But the clutter is stored in the subconscious.
It's other clutter.
It's, yeah.
It doesn't have to be physical.
No, you need some...
tasks.
Yeah, you need to be shown the clutter, because your home is decluttered.
Yeah. But don't it feel so free when you realise that, you know what, if I sort of just can just...
make up the clutter in your mind.
Do these little things, it makes you feel free.
Yeah. Everyone has clutter in their subconscious.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes being away from the home, you are away from your clutter, aren't you? In one way. You know, it's like everyone says, I want to get away, but it's probably getting away from...
You see, there's difference between clutter.
Different clutters as well.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I'm not being critical, I'm just saying. See, the thing is, and I think this came up in the meditation for people to ponder on, I could see it. Don't go into the illusion of thinking if you physically declutter and get rid of things, that it's sorted. What you have to do usually, the first half of a clearing of depression, decluttering process, is to first wallow in it, go into it, work out what this bit of clutter is, what relevance does it have? Sink yourself into the drudgery of the paperwork or the tasks, then get rid of it. You can't just throw something out when you haven't yet processed it.
Yeah. Could that mean like emotional clutter as well? Like say you feel you haven't said things to people, or
yes,
you feel the need to. Then
totally.
Okay. And then I'm saying, is that some? Would that be classed as clutter as well? Sort of
absolutely. Yeah. Or? Yeah. Yeah.
But should you say things to people if it's going to upset?
Well, you see, that's the thing. If you've processed it and transformed it and analysed it and worked it all out within you, you get to a point where you might not need to. Where you don't need to manifest that interaction.
Yes. Yes.
But you have to transform it somehow.
Yes.
Okay.